We're having fun. It's so funny because a lot of you may not even realize it, and I had some people come up to me afterwards and said, I know the one character. I know who that is. That's Pastor Jim. Who's the other guy? I'm like, that's me. And they're like, what? I don't know if you knew that. All right. Some people, it took a while to realize that I'm Bert. So, well, hey, we are continuing the series that we are calling Bucks, and we're not talking necessarily about deer hunting, right? We're talking about the bucks that we put in our pockets, the bucks that go in our bank account. We're talking about how to handle and deal with and be a steward of our resources, our money, right? The dollar bills is what we're talking about this morning. Now, I want to say, because you know there are a lot of you joining us online, and maybe you're watching this afterwards. If you are joining us online, do this for me. If you're on the YouTube stream, you can comment. You can say hi to each other in the comments, and if there's something you like, you can say amen and just pop that in the comments, and so that we know you're joining us on that on the video. And those of you in the room, thank you. You guys can talk back, and we can have some fun this morning. All right. Sound good? And by the way, they can hear you. There's a mic that is pointing toward you guys. So if you shout and holler, they will hear that. So no cursing. All right. I'm just that doesn't happen here, right? So we're in this series. We're talking about bucks. You know, we're talking about money, resources, and stuff. And we're learning the heartbeat and the how-to of what God says in the Bible about our stuff. That's the thing, that God has a heartbeat in the scriptures of what he desires for us when it's talking about our possessions, our money, our resources, and we're learning the how-to, meaning I want you to leave each week with a very practical next step on what you can do to steward your stuff well. Now, as we're in this series and we're talking about this, I have to throw out some funny, you know, pastor money jokes. And one actually has to do about hunting. There was a lawyer, a doctor, and a pastor that went hunting, and they were out there together in the woods, all together side by side. All of a sudden, this buck comes out in the distance, and they all see it, and they all look at each other, and they're being really quiet, and they all pull up their gun at the exact same time. And right at the exact same moment, all three of them, bang, 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 they all shoot at this buck. And they're like, well, who gets it? Who do we know knocked it down? Because it fell down. Well, a little bit later, as they're discussing, they're arguing about who gets this big buck and who gets the credit for shooting it and all that, a game warden shows up in the woods and says, hey, what are you guys arguing about? And they said, well, we can't decide. We can't figure out which one of the three of us shot the buck, if it was the pastor or the doctor or the lawyer. We don't know who actually got it. And he said, okay, give me 5 seconds. I'll look over the deer and I'll let you know who got it. So the game warden goes over to the deer and looks at it and turns right around. I know who got it. And like, what? How do you know who shot it that quickly? And he turned around and said, well, the pastor shot it. I'm like, huh? Oh, yeah, because it went in one ear and out the other. Y'all with me? All right. I hope when I preach, it doesn't do that, right? It doesn't go in one ear, out the other. Like, we want to know. We want to really learn together, right? We want to go in our ears and then in our hearts, and we want to grow and change. And a little fun buck joke for you there. See, when we think about this and we're talking about money and stuff and resources, we need you to know that we want something for you here at New Hope, right? We're not here to get something from you. We're in this series because we want something for you. We want you to understand what God says about his money that he gives us, that we are stewards of. And that was last week's message. The reality is this, that God owns everything, right? He made everything. When we come into this world, we come in with nothing. When we leave this world, we will leave with what? Nothing, right? Like, while we are here, we are just stewards of God's resources, of what he gives us and what he blesses us with. And last week, one of the big ideas I wanted us to really understand, and I repeated it a lot last week, and I have it as a fill-in-the-blank if you want to take notes this morning, and I've got some fill-in-the-blanks, and if you're watching online, you can just note some things down as we go through this, that when we're talking about God as our steward, we need to understand that if he gives us stuff, we need to understand that we all have equal value, but we all have different capacity. Remember I talked about that last Sunday? That with God, no matter what we make, no matter what we do, we all have equal value in God's eyes. There is no he's richer, so he's more important. Like, God is not a God of favoritism. That's not how it works. That's how our culture works. Those who have more kind of earn more and get more respect in the community and society, and we kind of look at people differently based upon what they have and their income and their home and all sorts of stuff. But that's not God's kingdom. That's this earthly kingdom that we live in, this land of comparison. I'm going to talk about comparison today a little bit. But we all have equal value in the presence of God, but we have different capacity. meaning we are all given different gifts, different strengths, different abilities, and different capacities to do and to serve and to give and to work. And our capacities will lend us to living a certain lifestyle. And so even though all of us, the great equalizer for all of us is time. We all have the same amount of time every day. Do you know that? And so what is the difference of the amount of time that a billionaire spends his time on as me, like a thousandaire, right? Like what? We all have the same time. It's capacity, meaning we're all given a different thing to work with. But that does not equal our value to each other in the church. It should never equal value. And in the presence of God and his kingdom, we all have value. We all have equal value in his presence, okay? Is everybody with me on that? So when I'm talking about this, that is a key thought through this whole series, that we are all equal in the kingdom of heaven and in God's eyes, and as Christ followers, we should see each other as equals, because all of us are equals at the foot of the cross. We all deserve death and hell because of our sin. But at the foot of the cross, all of us get to come and now have been made equal in forgiveness. It's a level ground at the foot of the cross. We are all equal in our value, okay? So I just wanted to reemphasize that as we're talking through this stuff today, as we walk through it. Now today, as we're going to continue on, we're talking what it means to be content in the woods. How can we, with Bucks, be content in the woods, right? How can we live that way? If I ask you a question with your resources, money, and possessions, stuff, how much is enough? The answer to that is a little more, right? Like, that's what we're always told. And there's also something inside of us, it's just nature about us, that whatever we have, there's still a little more out there, right? There's still a little more we can get, or a little more we can have, or there's that thing or that whatever it might be, that there's this discontentment that we live with. And America is the worst, by the way, right? We're the worst in the country we live in with this whole idea of discontentment in the world. I actually did a lot of research this week and looked at some Gallup poll studies, the World Happiness Report, if you ever looked into that. That's a part of the Gallup thing and the World Health Organization. And I was looking at, there's this happiness index that has been created around all the countries around the world. And they take all this stuff into account, and it's pretty interesting. There's a book that was written by Ruth Whitman called America the Anxious, How Our Pursuit of Happiness is Creating a Nation of Nervous Wrecks. And this is what she said in a 2015 article. She said, Americans consistently rank as one of the least happy people in the developed world. One recent survey even placed the day-to-day happiness of the American people two places behind the citizens of Rwanda. What's more, according to the World Health Organization, Americans are far and away the most anxious people on the planet, with nearly a third of the people in this country likely to suffer from an anxiety disorder in their lifetime. We are the wealthiest country that's ever existed, and we are the least happy on the planet, one of the least happy. So, when we think that money equals happiness, we're wrong. Like, even through studies and polls and understanding. Actually, I've been to the Dominican, and hopefully, you know, well, not hopefully, we're planning on a trip in October as a church to head back to the Dominican to connect with the ministries there. And I've saw some dirt poor people. And when I say dirt poor, I mean their floor is dirt, and they have nothing. It's a day-to-day life. But I have not seen as big of a smile on anybody else's faces that I've seen when I was around them. They were happier with their shed and their tent and their shack with a dirt floor than many people are in their mansions, or many mansions in America. I'm like, okay, there's something wrong here. It's because we've got the equation wrong. We think a little more equals a little more happiness. In reality, a little more, do you know what a little more always equals? A little more work, right? I've talked about this in the past. Like, if you want more stuff, you're going to have more problems with your stuff, right? If you want a boat, you're going to have boat problems, right? Anybody know that? Like, you buy a boat, get ready to buy another boat and spend a lot more on that boat. You'll have boat problems. You buy a car, what are you going to have? Car problems. You own a house, what are you going to have? House problems. You own a phone, you're going to have phone problems. Like, the more you own, the more you have, the more problems you have, because of all those things create issues. Yes, there's blessings attached to them, but the more you have, the more simple your life doesn't become, and the more happiness does not enter into your life. And yet that's the equation that we've been sold for many, many, many years, right? There's this passage in Ecclesiastes, Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. And God downloaded his wisdom into him. This is what he says. Whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This too is meaningless. As goods increase, so do those who consume them. And what benefit are they to the owner except to feast their eyes on them? That's a powerful verse, right? It's very true today. Collect and gather, and then you have all this stuff to feast your eyes on. That's it. It's interesting. I've been watching. I like documentary type stuff. I'm a geek like that, and I've been watching a series. It's an older series from the History Channel called "The Men Who Built America." It is really intriguing, all the crap that happened in America. Like, this is a messy nation. Like, just lots of messes in our history. And the whole story is about the richest men who built these, you know, mega monopolies in our country, like Carnegie, J.P. Morgan, Rockefeller, Vanderbilt. It's these men that were the billionaires. I mean, they were millionaires, but in today's numbers, it'd be billionaires that pretty much ran all these industries. And seeing how they had everything they would ever need or want or desire, but they continually wanted more. Like, it wasn't enough where they were. And then they would compete against each other to be the wealthiest man and the most prestigious wealthy man in the country. And they went to crazy lengths to do it. Crazy lengths. That's what happens. When you have a lot, you think you would be satisfied. But some of the most wealthiest people are still never satisfied. There's always more. There always is. I believe the enemy holds people captive to this desire for more. Okay? So here's the next point, if you want to write this down. Next point is this, is that happiness isn't found in what we own. It's not. It's not. You can enjoy the things you own. I'm not saying owning things is bad, okay? It's okay to, I have a motorcycle, I enjoy that thing. Two-wheel therapy is a beautiful thing. Like, there's nothing wrong with having things and enjoying them. That's not what I'm saying. But if that's your pursuit of happiness, it's not found in what you own. It's found in who we know, okay? Happiness isn't found in what you own. Happiness is found in who you know. And this is like a big thing right here. For us as Christians, happiness is found in who we ultimately know, right? It's found in God alone. He knew us before. He'll know us in the end and we'll be with him forever. He is our ultimate joy and happiness. And while we're on this planet, when we learn how to live that way, we learn to live in contentment, that's awesome. But I also believe that this goes to this level of each other, that happiness can come found in relationship with one another. Relationships are way more valuable than stuff. So it's found in who we know, okay? Is everybody with me? All right, we're going to get into two big, thick passages this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6, okay? 1 Timothy's in the New Testament. And in chapter 6, we see this passage as Paul is encouraging this young Timothy to teach the church that he was pastoring what it looked like to deal with their stuff, right? To deal with the bucks, you know? I don't know if he called any sermon series bucks like we did, but that's what he was teaching. That's what he's talking to the church. And this is what he says. He says, the scriptures say this, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Has anybody ever heard that passage before? It's kind of like some people change it a little bit and they say godliness and cleanliness kind of thing. That's not what it is. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it, but if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Let's keep reading. He says, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. He is speaking into the culture in Ephesus, which is a wealthy culture that had a great economy, and he's telling them, don't trust in your stuff. Like, if you pursue it, you're not going to experience happiness, right? Why? Because you're going to be tempted to try to get more, that desire for more, that discontentment, like there's always something a little bit more. That's called greed. And it's hard to see in ourselves. It's easy to see in others, but it's one of those hard ones to see in ourselves. Greed. And this is one of the most misquoted verses in verse 10. Because a lot of people say, for the love of money is the root of all sin, is sometimes what people say. It's like, no, that's not what it says. It says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Like, meaning, if you love money, all other sorts of evil are going to be happening in your life to get it, right? You may cheat, you may steal, you may lie, you may, whatever it takes, right, to continue to gain and gain and gain and gain. And with that, some people eager for it, well, they've wandered from the faith. That verse right there is saying our decisions on what we do with and how we spend our resources are spiritual decisions. They are. It's not like, well, it's my stuff and I can do with it what I want. As a Christ follower, it's God's stuff and I want to do what he wants to do with it. Because I want to be under his umbrella of protection in all areas of my life, including my finances. And so when we live under his umbrella and do it the way he calls us to, we live under his protection, his blessing, then we get to experience joy in what he brings us because we don't want more. We're content with what he's given us and we're walking in a godly life. We're trying to walk in godliness, right? So instead of eagerly trying to go get and go get and go get, we need to learn what it looks like to be content, to be content. And I think there's two things we need to learn to be content with in our lives personally, okay? I think we need this, that contentment is being settled with your personal capacity and God's provision, okay? True contentment is being settled. Have you ever felt like settled into something? Like once maybe you start a new job and it's at first you're pretty anxious about it and then finally get into the groove of it and you're like, and you kind of get settled into that job, right? And then you feel comfortable with what you're doing and how you're doing. This whole idea of being settled is like, I'm content. Everything's okay. And for us to be content and believe everything is okay with two things, our personal capacity. Meaning, we need to be settled with, this is what I've been given in life, and somebody else might get more, somebody else might get less, but my capacity to work and to produce wealth and to make an income, I'm settled with that, and I'm okay. I'm okay with the gifts that God's given me and the abilities and skills. And I'm settled with God's provision. Meaning I'm going to trust God's provision in my life rather than my own hands, my own work, my own building my own kingdom, right? He says, no, I'm settled with where I'm at, what I've got, and I'm settled that God is my provider, nobody else. God is the one that takes care of my needs and my family's needs. That's the hardest one right there, isn't it? That one's tricky on learning how do we get here. I can feel like settled with my capacity. I can be content with that, but this one, that God is my provider, not my job, not my employment, you know, not my 401k, not my, like, I fully and wholly trust that God is my ultimate and total provision. And so we want to look at another passage with this whole idea of contentment. See, contentment isn't necessarily a feeling. It's a choice, right? It's a choice to be content. And the thing that pushes against contentment all the time, I think there's two key things, and this morning's teaching, I don't know if you hear that, like I'm just teaching you, all right? Everybody good with that? Okay, so I'm lots of fill in the blanks. I think the things that steal contentment the most in our life is comparison and fear, okay? Comparison and fear will always steal contentment. Every time. I mean, if you are living a life of comparison, if you're looking at your capacity and your income or what you have, and you're continually looking at everybody else's and comparing yourself to other people, you will never be content because there will always be somebody who has something more than you and has something that you want that can't get it yet. Right? Is everybody with me on that? Yeah. I shared this last Sunday. I'm going to get a little personal with you. Last Sunday, I talked about why I preach on this stuff. and why I can preach on it so passionately, it's because I've been there and God has pruned this out of my heart. A lot of my early years in life, I was full of greed and materialism. I wanted more than I had. And I felt like, not that I wanted, I felt like I deserved it. And there's something in my heart that said, well, this tiny apartment that we're spending like $300 on a month, we deserve better than this. And I'm like, why? Maybe, later on we did get a nicer place and all that kind of stuff. But what was in my heart? What was actually the heart issue? And it was discontentment. There was always something next. There was always something more. And there was always something that somebody else had that I thought I deserved in life. And God had to prune that out of my heart. Big time, he had to prune that out of my heart. And he had to take me through deep, deep valleys to prune that out of my heart. Because I lived in this land of comparison all the time. I was looking for the American dream early on in my, early 20s. And for some of you, that's the land that you live in. You just continually see what everybody else has. And it wrecks you. Like, there is never a contentment. There's always something else. And you're going to read in just a minute what Jesus says about that, okay? And then fear for a lot of people in this room. Fear of not having enough. Fear that you're not going to be taken care of. Fear that you're going to lose your job. Or that fear grips you when it comes to your money. And so that you hoard it, you grab it, whatever you can make, you store it, you put it away, and maybe fear can also drive people to do stupid things. Fear can lead people to stealing from other people because, oh, they have enough, so I can justify it. They're plenty, and so I'm going to take a little bit of it, right? They kind of have the Robin Hood mentality. I'm Robin Hood. They're rich, I'm poor. So thank you for blessing me. Feed my children, the Feed My Children Fund. That's not how it works, right? And that's when we sin to get, because fear controls us in these decisions. And so comparison and fear in our life will always steal contentment. But we're supposed to live with godliness and contentment. Well, what does Jesus say? We're going to get to the end of this passage, and this one's a long one, okay? Because I really want us to hear this, and many of you have read this passage probably in Scripture, in Matthew chapter 6. So if you have your Bibles with you, please join me in Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to listen to Jesus, what his words are for us on this issue. I said last week that the Scriptures, when Jesus taught, Jesus actually taught more about money and possessions through the Gospels than he did about heaven and hell. Because he knew what was going to steal our attention most on this world is this. It's stuff. It's comparison. It's fear. It's consumerism. It's greed. Like, Jesus knew that was going to capture people's hearts. And that was going to be the battle for people's hearts. And so in this passage, he just gets right to the heart of it. Especially this issue of fear and where we should actually be putting comparison in a healthy way, I believe, so that we can have an understanding of how we can be content, okay? So let's hop into Matthew chapter 6. This is a longer passage. So if you're with me, say, yep. All right, you guys are with me. I like it. You guys with me online? If you are, comment yep. All right, here we go. This is what it says. It says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Now, some of you, we just need to put a period there and go do it, right? Some of you, that's where you're at. This is what he says. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Remember how I talked about, I want you to understand the heartbeat of our Heavenly Father? Jesus is saying to us, you are valuable. You matter to God. So why are you worrying? Your Heavenly Father knows what you need. He knows what the birds need, and he takes care of them. Aren't you way more valuable than the birds. Way more valuable. Keep reading. He says, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in his splendor was dressed like one of these. It's like, why do you worry about your clothes? We live in a, I can see some of you don't worry about your clothes as much as others, right? Like, it's just how, you know, some people are like really worry about their clothes, what they wear, what they look like. And some people are like, oh, you know, I try to dress nice and be presentable. Some of you are like, I don't care what I wear. I'm just wherever I am. Here I am, you know. I don't think what he's saying is so always look sloppy. That's not your excuse to always look sloppy and messy and not take a shower, okay? That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, why would you let that run your heart? Why would you let that worry you, right? That what am I going to wear? How am I going to take care of just having clothes? I think it goes down to that basic level, right? Each one of these passages, remember I said that comparison will always kill contentment? Unless we compare the way Jesus compares. When Jesus compares, he says, look at the birds. Consider your life, now look at the birds. He says, don't look at Bill Gates, you know, don't look at, you know, at Elon Musk, don't look at like the billionaires of the world. Look at the birds. They have everything they need. Our Heavenly Father's provided them everything they need. Don't you think you're way more important than they are? Man, I know you need clothes. He doesn't say, so look in the fashion magazines. So look at the covers as you're checking out a Walmart and then sanitizing as you walk out, right? Look at, you know, he's like, don't, look at the flowers. They're beautiful. Like when you look at flowers up close and you see all the little intricacies in a flower, God put every single one of those in places. Don't you think that he will take care of your clothes? That he will provide for you? If that is how God clothes the grass, the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, it's temporary, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? He says, for the pagans run after these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Do you see a priority shift? See, Jesus gets straight to the heart of what happens in us when we get into the land of comparison and discontentment. He goes straight to the heart and he says, you're worried about what you're going to have in this life. God loves you. He will take care of you. If you put the first things first in your life, if you pursue God first, his kingdom first, his righteousness first, all that stuff is little to God. Easy. Food is an easy one for God. He can do that. Money, you stress out, God will provide each day for what you need for that day. I can say that because I've lived that. I'm not saying that because I've always had and I've always been like, woo, you know, whatever. Always had a great income. My capacity's always been great. No. Like, I know this so well because of the pruning God had to do in my heart to get to the point where I trusted no one else but my Heavenly Father for my daily provision. He gave it every single day, even in the hardest of times, even in the stupidest of decisions that I made to put me in the hardest of times. God still provided for that day what I needed, what my wife needed, what my two young babies in that season needed. That's his grace. He loves us. And so he says, why would you worry like the pagans? They have no hope. I mean, without God, there is no hope. It's kind of like, this is what it is, so I'm going to get what I can and enjoy what I can, because when I die, I can't take it with me, so I'm going to enjoy it now. This is all there is. For us who are in Christ Jesus, this is not all there is. This is temporary. What we get in eternity is what it is. That is real, and that is where we will be. So we need to seek first whose kingdom? His kingdom, God's kingdom. Whose righteousness? His righteousness. We're not pursuing our self-righteousness. We're pursuing the righteousness of God. We want to be right with God. We're pursuing that every single day. And then he says, all that other stuff, I got you covered. I got it. The problem is, most of us, when we read this passage, we don't actually believe it. We actually say to Jesus, yeah, those are good words, but I don't know. I'm pretty sure my income comes from how hard I work, God. I'm pretty sure I'm the one taking care of my family at home. Well, just so you know, your job can be taken from you like that. Now who's your provider? God was then, and he will be then, and he will always be forever your provider. The moment we learn how to be content with our capacity and God's provision is the moment we learn to be great stewards of what he's given us, okay? That we are not owners, we are temporary managers of all this that we have been blessed with. And we cannot live in the land of comparison and fear, because it will always steal contentment, and that's the enemy's desire. And at work, God's desire is for us to pursue him and to do what he calls us to do with what he's given us as Christ followers. So this is my last point. A godly steward, meaning once we get to that place of contentment as God is our provider and we realize none of it's mine, he will give me what I need, he'll give me the capacity to work and earn what we need or to give, that this God, me as a godly steward, is my goal is to protect and to expand his kingdom. That's what a godly steward does. When you're content with what God's given you, you learn how to live open-handed, and then you protect God's kingdom with what you have. I mean, the enemy comes and attacks, and he's trying to do stuff. You're protecting what God's given you, and you are expanding God's kingdom, meaning you're investing what you have been given on this planet to then expand the kingdom of heaven, to invite people into the kingdom, and to invite people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. To continue to expand by investing in missions and ministries and using your resources to expand his kingdom. All of that is eternal investment. That's the only thing you get to take with you, is people, right? So that is our role as we are dealing with this whole idea of bucks. Dealing with bucks. We are called to be content, to live with godliness, to not walk into comparison or fear, but to protect and expand God's kingdom. Now, I want to, as we do this now, help you understand how to live in contentment. Because so often, many people don't even know what's going on with their money. Like, they just don't have a clue. It's like each month you get or maybe every other week, or whenever you get a paycheck, you just know there's bills to pay, and there's groceries to get, and you just have to do stuff. And you don't know where it all goes. It just goes. And then you can't wait, because you look in your bank account and like, uh-oh, you know, and so it's like, don't spend any money. And then you wait until you get that next paycheck. And then you're like, okay, cool, now I can pay this bill and do this and do this. And then you get to the empty tank, and then it's like, and then you get stressed out. And that's how so many people live. It's just paycheck to paycheck, just trying to survive. And that they don't even know where a dollar goes when it goes. It just goes. Now, for us being a practical steward and learning contentment, we have to know where the dollars go that God gives us. To be a good steward means to know what we have. And so this is really practical now. You have to have a budget. Do you know what a budget is? A budget is you saying where your money goes. It's giving every dollar a name. And when you give every dollar a name, then you know exactly who's getting it when it goes away, right? It's going to this bill, it's going to that bill, it's going to the doctor's office. It's going to buy toilet paper, right? Whatever it is right now, you know, whatever. I still don't understand what that is about. Like, does anybody else know what that's about? If you know, let me know, all right? So, like, everybody's planning on being in the bathroom a lot for the next few weeks. That was a squirrel moment. All right, so budget, right? So what a budget, it helps you know, and it helps you be a steward and decide where your dollars go. So that when something else comes along that says, I would like your dollars, you know, or something else that you would like to buy, you know exactly what dollars it is that you're going to use to buy it, right? That is being a steward, is knowing where your money goes and setting aside the amount so that it goes there whenever you get it. It's knowing your income, it's knowing your debt load, it's knowing your bills, and then at the bottom, we'll talk about savings in a few weeks, okay? And we're going to talk about giving and generosity, because so many people get that messed up. They give last. They do a budget, and it's like, well, whatever's left over. And that's not how God's kingdom works. That's not under the umbrella of his protection and blessing, okay? And so we're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks. And some of you are like, well, that's a Sunday. I'm not coming, all right? And that's not what that's, again, this is what we want for you, okay? These are godly biblical principles where God's protection and blessing can be attached to what he's given you. We see all throughout Scripture that we are stewards, that we need to be wise in what we do. So this is what I want you to do on your way out here, if you're here, or those of you online. I have tools available for you to help you learn how to take care of your budget, how to create a budget, how to be content with what you have and know what you have so you know how to be content with what you have so things, money just doesn't disappear, right? And if you're here on your way out in the middle, there is a small pub table, and it has a few books on it. And those books, we only have a number of them. So if you already have that book and you haven't read it, I'm going to say read it. If you want to know how to steward God's resources well and what that really looks like, you can grab a free copy of that, just one per household, okay? I think we only have like 20 books this morning. So grab one of those on your way out. And there's a printout of a budget that'll help you start doing this to figure out where is your money going. And so that you can give each dollar a name and say, okay, I know where that is going, okay? So you can grab a printed copy on your way out. Those of you who are online, you go here, mynewhope.tv/bucks. And you guys can do this too if you want to. So on this website is all the downloadable resources that I'm talking about. There's a budget you can print. There's an Excel sheet. If you're like an Excel geek and love like formulas and creating a digital budget, you can download an Excel sheet. There's also, and you can go here too, there's also a link to our Right Now Media page, which is online Bible studies, video Bible studies that you can sign up. We'll give you free access to that to go through some of these series, video series, to learn on your own. What this is. And the one that I like the most is through Crown Financial. And Crown does a great job having a biblical, just solid foundation to teach you these principles that we're talking about through this series and the tools that you need to do these things, to create a budget. And so for some of you, there's so many different ways you can do it. Those of you who need to really get disciplined, it may be using something like cash envelopes. We did that for a long time in our household because our budget was so tight. We literally went to the bank, cashed our check, took those bills, and had an envelope for each thing that we were going to spend that month. And so there was a grocery cash envelope, and when that envelope was empty, no more groceries that month, right? Like, we had to be very detailed because we didn't have a whole lot, and we wanted to be wise with it. You can create a budget that way. You can use websites like mint.com is a free one by Intuit. They create online budget. It links up to your online bank account, and they'll show you where you're spending your money. And a lot of you will be like, whoa, I didn't realize that. You know, like, you should have some aha moments as you walk through this, because there may be places that you don't realize your money is just kind of disappearing every single month. So we want to help you. Okay, these are very practical things. This is your homework. If you don't have a budget this week, create one. And as you create it, what you'll probably see is you have way more than you thought, and you realize that God has blessed you in so many ways that your heart's going to turn to thankfulness. Some of you have way less maybe than you thought, or you already know your finances are tight, and as you create a budget, you can thank God that he is your provider every single day, right? All of it is wrapped around contentment and godliness. He is the provider. We are the stewards. Let's steward what he's given us well so that we can honor him and let him show up and show off to expand his kingdom in our life. God, thank you for this message this morning. I thank you that you have not been silent on these issues, that you know our hearts and you know culture, you know society, you know people, you made us. And you know our intentions, and you know the things that we do well and the things that we continually just mess up in. And so, God, this morning, as we have been talking about this and walking into this as a church and through this series, my prayer is that you will, by your power, be breaking some strongholds in some people's lives when it comes to dealing with greed or money or finances or whatever it is. And so I'm going to pray, God, that you would do that even this morning. For those of us here, those of us online together, that if there's something that we've been holding on to, if there's fear or comparison or greed or continual discontentment, that you'll release us from that in the name of Jesus Christ. That's my prayer. So during this time, God, I challenge that you'll just speak to each of us as we take this time to respond. So let's just stay in this mode, in this attitude of prayer and response, and just a few questions that I ask each Sunday, you know, that I want us to wrestle with. Here's the first question. How well are you stewarding your resources? How well are you doing at it? Do you struggle with comparison in your life? Like creating discontentment? Do you struggle with fear? I would ask this question, whose kingdom are you building with your resources? Are you building your own? Or are you building God's? Because our kingdoms are temporary. The things we build, the things we make, the things we buy, it's all temporary. But when we invest in God's kingdom and live open-handed, we get to live into the joy that God wants us to. So I would encourage you, let's take some practical steps this week to learn how to be content and to learn how to honor our Heavenly Father who's given us His Word and teaches us what it looks like to not worry, to be content, and to live and love Him. Live for Him and love Him. And so, God, thank you for this morning. I pray for continued protection over all of us. And God, that this week, that we would not be a people of fear. God, and just even beyond this message and beyond the sermon, we live in a culture right now across the world that is operating in fear. And God, I know that the church is not supposed to be a place of fear. It's supposed to be a place of victory. And the world is is looking in at the church to see how we respond to what's going on out in the world. And I pray that we would be a people of joy, of peace, of patience, of kindness, and that we would individually do what we are called to do to bless the people around us so that they will see something different in us. We are not a people of fear. So we trust you with all of it. What's going on right now. And God, we just ask these things and pray only in Jesus' name. Amen.